This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Veneria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Veneria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
What a day! The winning! I love this winning! This is great! Great day for Pennsylvania, great day for America, and a great day for the Fogel family. Because Pennsylvania's own Mark Fogel released from Russian custody on his way back to the United States of America. Bravo! Bravo, President Trump, for getting this done. Just like he promised his mother he would in Butler, Pennsylvania. Welcome to the show. Glad you're here today. 855-839-1210 on X at Rich Zeoli. Excellent, excellent news. White House putting out a statement early. And Senator Dave McCormick's going to join us at 4:30 today to talk about this. You know, he sent a bipartisan letter, McCormick, Fetterman, together, demanding the release of Mark Fogel. So talk about bipartisanship working, something that is really, really important, really critical here. And that's what I mean, working together, and they were able to get him home. Today, President Donald Trump and his special envoy, Steve Witkoff, were able to announce that Mr. Witkoff is leaving Russian airspace with Mark Fogel, an American who was detained by Russia. President Trump, Steve Witkoff, and the president's advisors negotiated an exchange that serves as a show of good faith from the Russians and a sign we are moving in the right direction to end the brutal and terrible war in Ukraine. Now, in case you don't know, and by the way, let's queue up. The president will be signing executive orders in a short time. Other great news, the incandescent light bulb is coming back. The shower pressure is coming back. The water pressure coming back, baby. I am so excited about this. I'm very excited Mark Fogel's coming home. Do not get me wrong. This is the big story of the day by far. This is huge. I am so excited about this. The Eagles win on Sunday. Mark Fogel wins today and he comes home. It's great. It's great. But I'm really excited to take a shower. All my shower heads, I had to go in there and pry out the freaking thing and take out the thingy to get the water pressure that I need. But not going to have to do that anymore because Trump's getting rid of those stupid standards. So maybe we can have dishwashers that actually wash your dishes. Washing machines that, I don't know, actually wash your clothes. And maybe can get hot enough to kill the bed bugs so that we stop having this bed bug epidemic in America. Dryers that, you know, actually dry the freaking clothes and kill everything that's in there so we don't have bed bugs. We'll talk about that. This is a big deal. Big deal. And President Trump fulfilled the promise here because Mark Fogel's mother was on Fox News earlier today. We have the audio of this. And said indeed that President Trump promised her in Butler he would get her son home. He's a history teacher from Pennsylvania. serving a 14-year prison sentence at a notoriously brutal Russian prison. I mean, I imagine they all are. I can't imagine there's a nice Russian prison, but this one in particular is supposed to be really, really bad. I can't imagine Russia has any country club prisons like we do in America for federal offenses, but I can't imagine they do over there. It was August of 2021. He was arrested at a Russian airport for being in possession of drugs. What did he have? He had medically prescribed marijuana. And look, I know people say, well, it's your responsibility to know before you travel. I get all that, but 14 years, a hard time. It's ridiculous. And the Biden administration could not get him home. And the Biden administration had a chance to get him home, but they just didn't. They got Brittany Griner home, the WNBA player, who was arrested for the exact same offense. She had medical marijuana on her. And I was happy she was home. I'm happy if any American comes home. But like I said at the time, why are we leaving Americans behind here? And it's the exact same offense. 14-year prison sentence. So thank God. And it was perfectly legal in America. It was not legal there. And yes, you always have to check the laws of the country you're going into, because just because something's legal in the United States of America does not mean it's legal in the other country. But come on. I mean, there's no justification for a 14-year harsh prison sentence in Russia. This was Russia sticking it to us. And the fact of the matter is, this is something that the left should celebrate. Unfortunately, what they're probably going to do in their usual hysteria is accuse Trump of calling up his buddy Putin and his buddy Putin doing a favor for Trump and getting Fogel home or something along those lines. Because one of the idiots already said Trump is turning America into Russia. I don't know which moron said that in the mainstream corporate media. I don't know which one did, but that's what he said. Trump is turning America into Russia. I heard that. I believe it might have been Joy Reid. I don't know. I don't know, 4 years. I'm only going to play if the cuts are funny that I can make fun of, because otherwise I'm going to wind up just taking my own life in a very, very brutal fashion, by the way. I'm going to. I know it. It's just inevitable. So I'm going to try not to do that for all of our sake. Fogel's mother, Malfine, told Fox News America's reports that it is absolutely a good day. He called me earlier today saying that he was in a Moscow airport and waiting to fly to Washington, D.C. It was a total surprise when he called. Fogel's relatives also told the AP they were beyond grateful, relieved, and overwhelmed that he was coming home. As stories from Fox News. This has been the darkest and most painful period of our lives, but today we begin to heal. For the first time in years, our family can look forward to the future with hope. Now, the National Security Advisor, Mike Waltz, former congressman who's been on the show before, said in a statement that, quote, since President Trump's swearing in, he has successfully secured the release of Americans detained around the world. And President Trump will continue until all Americans being held are returned to the United States. By tonight, Mark Fogel will be on American soil and reunited with his family and loved ones, thanks to President Trump's leadership. Former CIA station chief and Fox News contributor Dan Hoffman called the release Tuesday a major foreign policy success. Anytime we are able to extract one of our citizens from behind enemy lines in Russia, good on the administration for doing this. Steve Witkoff has a lot on his plate right now dealing with the Middle East, and it's incredibly impressive. On top of that, he was able to secure the release of Mark Fogel. You're damn right. Outstanding. Outstanding. And, you know, it's again, you should want to be happy, right? You should want to be excited about this. This is the kind of thing that everybody, both sides of the aisle, should be happy with. And years after the Democrats went after whistleblowers and accosted them, Senator Schumer today announced that he's opening up a whistleblower portal, whatever the hell that means. They are trying so hard to undermine Elon Musk and Doge. Elon Musk, who changed his Twitter handle, by the way. So we're going to try to figure out how I can share this with you. There's a video going around, and I don't know. Quite frankly, I don't know if it's real or not. Let me explain, and I'll tell you what I mean by in this particular moment of time. So if you go to Elon Musk on Twitter, he's back to at Elon Musk. Earlier today, he had changed his Twitter handle, but it's back to at Elon Musk right now. And there you go. So that's that. But the Twitter, but he had changed it to a different name earlier today. And it was something that allegedly, and I don't know if it's real or not. I don't know if it's real. If Dana Bash actually said his name on Capitol Hill, I don't know on CNN if that occurred. I don't know, but we're going to find out. We'll find out for you before the show ends. It was Harry. And then think about the kind of thing you use in sporting contests. Like a baseball or a football or something along those lines. Harry that. And I don't know if Dana Bash actually said that or not, or if that was something. I don't know. I just don't know. I don't know. But we'll find out. All right. There's a lot of breaking news all over the place today. Every afternoon, there's breaking news. Every afternoon. It's fantastic. Eagles Parade is on Friday. I have some details about that. Oh, you know who's going to come on the show later today? My buddy, Captain John Hoyt of the Philadelphia Police Department. It's going to be great. He is captain. He's also the second national vice president of the National Fraternal Order of Police. They sent out a letter today endorsing Kash Patel and saying he should be the next FBI director, which is great. Let's play a clip for you. This is Malphine Fogel, Mark Fogel's mother. After Mark was just released, saying this on Fox News, thanking President Trump profusely for the promise he made to get Mark home. Cut 21.
I know that you were there in Butler, Pennsylvania,
yes,
on that fateful day.
I met President Trump, and he was just as cordial as he could be. And he told me three different times, if I get in, he said, I'll get him out. And I really think he's been instrumental. He and Rubio and I can't think of the other person's name that I wanted to say. But anyway, I really feel they were instrumental in getting this to happen.
Yeah. I assume maybe you mean Steve Wickoff.
There's a chance he's watching or we'll see this. What would you like to say to President Trump?
I would like to thank him profusely. He promised me he would get him out, and he kept his promise. And I can't thank him enough, and Secretary Rubio also, and anybody else who's had a hand in this. I'm sure there were quite a few that got the ball rolling, but I particularly want to thank President Trump.
Thank you, Malphine Fogel. God bless you. God bless your family. This is a great moment, and Trump got it done. And wouldn't it be nice if in a rare bipartisan moment we could just say that? I mean, Pennsylvania Congress people, for example. But no, because even Madeleine Dean is melting down today for some reason. They're all melting down. There's lots and lots of videos of people melting down. And Maxine Waters and all kinds. I mean, they're all losing their freaking minds over Doge. They can't fathom the idea of cutting government spending. They can't fathom the idea. Oh, shameless plug. So yesterday I was on Dana Perino's podcast, Perino on Politics. Please do me a favor, download it, take a listen. If you would do that for me, I'd be so grateful. We talked about Pennsylvania and the fact that you've got Pennsylvania Senator Dave McCormick and John Fetterman trying to work together on things to accomplish things. This release of Mark Fogel is a great example of that. It really is a great example of that. And I give Fetterman credit. He wrote the letter, signed his name to it. So did Dave McCormick. But ultimately, it was President Trump getting it done. And I think the war in Ukraine is going to come to an end. I think there are just great days ahead for all of us. I really am. It's a great time to be alive. It's a great time to be alive right now. And I'm thrilled. But yet, we are also very, very close to a constitutional crisis, apparently, allegedly, according to Caitlin Collins on CNN. 3 weeks in and we're at a constitutional crisis. Let me tell you something. The only constitutional crisis potentially are all these federal judges who keep blocking all of President Trump's executive orders, because they're making a lot of work for the Chief Justice John Roberts, who could intervene here and slap them all down and tell them to knock this crap off. These judges are doing this. They're not going to be successful. They are doing this to try to stall the executive's orders. But the executive branch is a separate branch of government from the judiciary, and these judges are acting like kings. They're the ones who are creating a constitutional crisis for America right now, not President Trump signing executive orders. It is these judges who are now trying to stop him. And it has to end. It has to stop. They're not going to see. Luckily, they will not be successful. They will not be successful in this. But they keep doing it. You know, they keep trying. And they're not going to stop. I'm telling you, they won't stop. Every single day, there's going to be another judge who comes along to try to stop the progress that's being made by the Trump administration and to try to stop President Trump's executive orders. I'm just telling you, don't lose faith. Don't lose hope. These judges are way out of line. They're going to be dealt with as such by the judiciary, by the Supreme Court, who's going to tell them that this is nuts and this cannot continue. It can't continue. President Trump said earlier today FEMA should be terminated. It's ineffective. Calls for states to manage disaster aid. I completely agree. I think it's going to happen, too. I really do. President Trump's going to speak from the Oval Office soon. We will bring that to you live. I just think this is a really, really important day for the United States of America to get him home. Something that Joe Biden's administration could not do. Could not do. Could not do. And Trump got it done. But nevertheless, let me play for you this clip. This is Caitlin Collins of CNN bemoaning the constitutional crisis that we have in America right now. Cut number five.
We are 3 weeks into the second Trump presidency, 3 weeks. And tonight there are warnings that the U.S. is dangerously close to a constitutional crisis. Now, the first shoe on this dropped when a federal judge today said the White House is defying his order to unfreeze billions of dollars in federal aid, marking the first time that we've had a judge expressly accuse the Trump administration of ignoring a court ruling. And in a separate case today, federal employees here in Washington told a judge that the administration was defying another order by not reinstating workers who had been put on leave. Now, this all has prominent Democrats and many of the nation's top constitutional scholars declaring that the U.S. is on the brink of a reckoning. The Trump Justice Department says the president should have the authority to decide how to run the government and that these judges are overreaching. And some of the president's allies say the judges should not be judging any of the moves to shrink the federal government.
Two things. Biden was in contempt of court by multiple federal judges over the years, and the left never said a friggin' word about it. Secondly, these cases are not decided by federal judges. These cases are decided by the Supreme Court of the United States. And these judges know that. And these judges are wrong because the president is in charge of the executive branch, not the judiciary. He's not cutting the size of the Supreme Court. He's not cutting the size of the federal bench. He's dealing with the executive branch of government. He absolutely is empowered under the Constitution to deal with the executive branch of government. 100%. Everything he's doing right now is well within his authority under the Constitution. And he's not defying the judiciary. The judiciary hasn't ruled yet. The judiciary, the Supreme Court, will be the decider in this case. Now, if the Supreme Court says something different and the president ignores that, that is a different story. Now, I know that there's a lot of people talking about Andrew Jackson today when he talked about the Chief Justice has made his decision. Now, let him enforce it with regards to the Georgia case and the Indians. But I want to just 2 points I want to make about that. The point that he was making was when the court makes a ruling on something and has no mechanism for enforcement and the state won't do it, what happens was Andrew Jackson's point. Ultimately, now Jackson would send in federal troops and you would have the Indians removed. Years later, Andrew Jackson, 3 years later, would write a proclamation to South Carolina. We're dealing with the idea of nullification. And in that proclamation, President Andrew Jackson reaffirmed that the Supreme Court's decision is final and absolute and the law of the land. So for everybody out there who's saying the Andrew Jackson part, there's another part to that that I just want to make sure everybody's very clear on, because he respected the checks and balances. He understood that part of this. And we do not want a president ignoring the will of the Supreme Court, the decision of the Supreme Court, whether we like it or not, because in the future, Democrats are going to do exactly that, too. The Supreme Court has no enforcement mechanism. But I'm just making that point very clear because people, it's easy to send the one Andrew Jackson quote and not the other. The let him enforce it part means that the court has no mechanism for enforcement, which it doesn't. It doesn't have a mechanism. It doesn't have an army. It doesn't have a police department. It doesn't have, well, I mean, technically it has a police department for the purposes of protecting the building and the justices, but it doesn't have the enforcement mechanism. So it has to rely on the state and or the feds carrying out the will of the court. But President Jackson was very clear in his proclamation after South Carolina tried to nullify federal law that the Supreme Court of the United States is the final decision maker on this stuff, and the will of the law, the will of the court has to be respected. I'm just making that point because I, as you know, I don't like when it's our side in office and we turn around and go, well, the hell with it, ignore the court, because the problem with that is at some point it's not going to be our side in there and we're going to be very upset going down that road. But ignoring a federal judge is different, and administrations both do it. They do it all the time. Biden was in contempt of court, technically speaking, a bunch of times by federal judges. And they just proceed until the Supreme Court ultimately decides. The executive looks at a ruling by a federal judge and goes, OK, you're not the final decider. I'm going to keep going with this. Both sides have done it. Both sides do it. And frankly, I don't care because there are so many various things that federal judges wind up putting a stay on that another federal judge overrules. And then the court, the circuit court, and then, and you know where this is all heading. And the Supreme Court doesn't have time to fast track everything. And quite frankly, many times a stay is not what you think it is when a judge puts a stay on something. So I'm just pointing that out, too, because the hysteria of the constitutional crisis, we just didn't hear a word of this when Joe Biden was in the White House and he was ignoring judges on things like giving drilling permits to oil companies to be able to drill. And the Biden administration still wouldn't do it. And the fact that the Biden administration was being told, give away leases on federal lands, we're ordering you to do so, and the Biden administration didn't do it. And at no point did you hear Caitlin Collins talk about a constitutional crisis. At no point, not once, not one time. In fact, the New York Times article about this constitutional crisis was especially incredulous because after saying the country is in the midst of a constitutional crisis, the newsroom concedes that the Supreme Court of the United States will probably rule in favor of the Trump administration. Then the New York Times newsroom concludes three articles by preemptively accusing the Supreme Court of abdicating their responsibilities. The point is very, very clear here. The Supreme Court is going to rightly rule that the president is the executive branch of government. I have discovered recently a document in my formerly pangolin-stained fingers known as the... Hold second. Hold, please. I had to put on my glasses. The Constitution of the United States of America. This is incredible reading. I had no idea. I had no idea. The things you discover in this book. So I flip over to Article II. Article II, Section 1, the executive power shall be vested in a president of the United States of America. He shall hold his office during the term of 4 years and together with the vice president chosen for the same term be elected as follows. And then they explain how the president is elected, apparently by something known as the electors. And Section 2. The president shall be commander in chief, and then there's pardons, and then he has all kinds of other powers. He has to give a state of the state address, and there's nothing about grandstanding in front of the cameras, but anyway. So there's that. The executive power shall be vested in the president. That's in Article II. Matt DeSantis, is that Article II or is that Article II? Is that Roman? What is that?
I think that's two.
Oh, it's two. Article two. Okay, all right. You see, I'm new to this whole Constitution thing. Wow, it's amazing. Did you know women could vote? Wait a second. That's been repealed, right? That was repealed, wasn't it? The one where broads can vote? Which one is that? That's not still a thing, is it?
That's still in there, yeah.
No, I thought one of them got repealed. Which one was it? The booze one.
The 19th, yeah.
Oh, the booze one got repealed. Oh. Oops. Okay. Listen, Susan Crabtree is going to join us next. Just kidding, ladies. You know I love you, and I know you love me because chicks dig me based on the rating. I love you. I'm glad you can vote. I really am, especially considering 52% of suburban women went for Donald Trump. I'm thrilled. Susan Crabtree is going to join us next. Real Clear Politics, national political correspondent and author of the book Fool's Gold, the radical con artists and traitors who killed the California dream and now threaten us all. Big story of the day brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Veneria. Go see him today for your perfect smile. There's so much for us to be happy about. The Eagles win. Mark Fogel's coming home. Dr. Mike will give you the smile of your dreams. VeneriaDental.com. We're coming right back.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, I'm so excited. New Orleans, Eagles win the Super Bowl. Mark Fogel's coming home. It's great. It's great stuff. It really is. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here today. 855-839-1210 is the number. And on X at Rich Zeoli. I'm also very, very excited. It's a big deal to have Susan Crabtree back on the show because she's one of the smartest reporters out there. She's also the author of a must-read book on California that's coming out very, very soon. Susan, welcome back to the show, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing great, Rich. It's nice to be back with you.
Well, what an incredible time we're living in. I don't know if you're an Eagles fan or not, Susan. I don't want to assume, but I mean, we just keep winning here.
Well, yes, you deserve high praise. It was quite the blowout. Not the greatest game I've ever seen. You know, I'm more of a Patriots fan myself, but you did have Tom Brady, you know, hosting the whole thing. So yeah, I got a little bit of my Tom Brady fix in, but well done, Eagles.
Yes, well done, Eagles.
Blow out.
And I'd love to say I listened to Tom Brady, but I didn't. I put on Merrill Reese, as pretty much everybody else did in Philadelphia. But it's all right. I mean, you got your eye candy with Tom Brady, so it's I don't begrudge. I get it. I totally get it.
Absolutely. He needs a little bit more enthusiasm, though, when he speaks. I mean, he has so much knowledge, but it's just kind of dry.
I did hear somebody made a comment. They were like, well, they asked Tom Brady, well, what is Patrick Mahomes doing this moment? He's like, yeah, I don't know. It's rough. It's like, that's not why you're here. You have to give an idea of what you would do in this moment. But hey. Anyway, all right, Susan Crabtree, let's talk about, we got a lot of business to discuss here right now. Federal, the Trump Justice Department moving to drop charges against Eric Adams. You wrote about that. You talked about that on your X at Susan Crabtree. Definitely follow Susan. She's a great follow. You have a lot of great stuff over at Real Clear Politics. Where do you want to begin today? There's so much.
Oh, I've been focused on, you know me, I'm focused on the Secret Service. I also have been reporting a lot about USAID and why it's become the whipping boy for the Trump administration. Some of it very, very well deserved. You know, I can give you a little perspective on that. I'm working on a story. But on the Secret Service, You know, I'm focused on the fact that we had some big news over the weekend. I think it got lost in the Super Bowl, but I have been sort of screaming from the mountaintops last fall about this Iranian threat to Donald Trump. And so I was saying, and I had, the day before the Butler rally, the FBI picked up a guy named Asif Merchant, and he was plotting. He was a Pakistani, but he had gone to Iran to plot the assassination of Donald Trump. So we had a lot of releases about what the FBI, some questioning of him that was released to Chuck Grassley, Senator Judiciary Committee Chairman. And he released this and then took it back because the FBI was upset about his release, the release of it. And it contained some really juicy information and things that I think the public should be aware of. But I didn't see it really, that story about the Iranian threat really catching fire last fall. But we had some new news over the weekend about it.
Yeah. Now, Trump said that if Iran were to ever assassinate him, he's given the order to annihilate them. And I guess the question that I think a lot of people are wondering is, and I'll ask you this, is the Iran story, and I don't doubt its legitimacy, but is that being used as an excuse to not get to the truth behind the motivations of the shooter in Butler? Because they haven't made a connection to him, as far as I know, Susan Crabtree, to Iran. So is this like one of those things where it's don't pay attention over here to the guy who was the shooter, whose body was cremated a week or two after the shooting, and we don't have any answers on that. Let's just talk about Iran.
No, I don't think they were talking about Iran too much until they, you know, they are prosecuting the guy, Asif Merchant, and a few others, too, that were also involved. They're supposed to be this. I think a lot of the, I would say, people who are deeply concerned there's not enough public transparency about Thomas Crooks or Ryan Ruth, the two would-be assassins. I think they like to think there's some kind of conspiracy with this Iran threat. I think it's both. If you listen to what Matt Gaetz said before the election victory, he was talking about multiple plots, foreign and domestic, against Donald Trump. And he was briefed on it. He had a briefing by the intelligence community. At least that's what he was claiming. And that there were at least five assassination plots, including the ones that were Iranian in nature. So I think it's both. I don't think it negates anything. I don't think it's cover for anything. If you read that proffer, you know how real it really was, that they were soliciting this Pakistani individual named Asif Merchant was soliciting people to assassins and was going to hire them, he was doing so in New York. He was slipping information back and forth through a book that he was, containing to a man in Texas. They were tracking him all over the place. And over the weekend, we found out that Donald Trump was taking the threat very, very seriously because he had, in addition to his, they call it Trump Force One, you know, his plane with all the Trump insignia on the campaign. He was so concerned about a surface-to-air missile threat from Iran to that plane that they started using two different planes. And if you can remember, Mike Waltz and even myself, we were saying, Mike Waltz now is his head of national security, his top advisor in the White House, but he was calling for an additional plane, like Air Force One type plane, for the Secret Service to give him, and that never happened and never materialized. They have plenty of those planes. Trump was so concerned about it that they were using a decoy plane. So they had two campaign planes and they divided up their campaign staff so that if some staff were taken out, there would still be operable staff for him. I mean, that's how real it was to Donald Trump.
Susan Crabtree is with me right now. She writes amazing stuff over at Real Clear Politics, realclearpolitics.com. She also has an upcoming book coming out. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. One of your pieces from last week, which I wanted to talk to you about, is the Secret Service agent who came out and said DEI contributed to the near killing of Trump. He's a black Secret Service officer who's speaking out about this. And can you tell us a little bit about that, Susan?
Yeah, his name is Rashid Ellis. He is a longtime 13-year member of the Secret Service, and he also went to the Citadel. There's articles about him you can find on the Citadel's magazine on the internet. He came forward. He was willing to go on camera with and the Independent Women's Forum. They knew that I had a long history of covering the Secret Service, so they gave me the first exclusive on that interview. And he said in no uncertain terms that he is deeply distressed about the problems with DEI at the Secret Service. And he's a Black person, but he's a Black man, but he doesn't see himself as Black at all. He wants right. to be seen as an American, and he doesn't like this focus on gender and race. He wants it to be a meritocracy, and he believes the DEI policies under Kimberly Cheadle, the former director, at President Biden's urging, he had an executive order urging all the agencies to make DEI a huge priority during his administration, that was the reason for the assassination attempts, at least at Butler. I know a lot about that. The people, the two women agents that were in charge of that, the security coming up with that security plan. And I will tell you that at least one of them was a very young Latina agent who I believe had no business being in that position, that she was set up for failure.
Yeah, I'm glad you're staying on top of this. And it's from my mind, and I think everybody watching that day in Butler, the physical size, and we've talked about this before together, you and I, Susan, the physical size of Donald Trump requires people who are physically capable of moving that man out of harm's way. And that is not what we had in Butler. And that is the problem. And that's DEI. There's no other way to put it here, because the only qualification should be, can you physically move the president of the United States out of harm's way and shield him from incoming gunfire? And it was evident that day that they couldn't.
Yeah, there was only one female agent in that inner circle that was part of that problem. So, you know, I think it was a failure to keep him down. He's, you know, kind of an indomitable character.
Yeah,
you're not
sure.
It's hard to keep him down, but they didn't go by the book that day. They were supposed to cover him, keep him down, and move him horizontally off the stage.
Right.
And as you can see, that's not what happened. It was a separate matter when you saw the women agents fumbling with their guns to get him into the motorcade and out of there as soon as possible. That was also a second failure. There were multiple failures that day, but the two women agents who were in charge of coming up with the security plan and executing it and not putting someone on that AGR building, those two women and their supervisor, who was a man, are at fault that day.
What about that video we saw of the Secret Service? I think it was the tactical response team, the guys in the camo, and that they had to ram through a fence. Is that an accurate video?
I don't think I'm aware of what the video
okay.
you're talking about.
I'll send that to you. Maybe we can chat about it next week. I think it was the emergency services guys, and they couldn't get to respond right away because there was a chain link fence, and they had to ram through the fence to be able to respond. And we saw that video at one point. But, you know, I'll send it to you. We can chat about it next week and, you know, see if that.
Thanks.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's turn our attention, if we could, to the DEI stuff. You have another excellent piece over at Real Clear Politics. All eyes on Vance as turmoil over gutting USAID grows. Amazing, Susan Crabtree, to learn about what's in the spending involved here, the craziness and the ludicrousness of these programs, but also how this USAID has really been a front in many ways for the CIA and for America's foreign interests abroad. So why are all eyes now on the Vice President of the United States of America?
Well, I was attending the International Religious Freedom Summit last week, and they actually, you know, that was a huge priority for Donald Trump in the first term, but he couldn't get the persecution of Christians and other religious minorities. He couldn't seem to get that through to USAID, even though it was a top priority for his administration. And now J.D. Vance, so people are saying, well, with all this, are we going to have any foreign assistance or not? Because there's a lot of, there was an effort during the first Trump administration to help persecuted Christians in Iraq that were decimated by ISIS. You know, that is the cradle of Christianity, mm-hmm. the Nineveh Plains in Iraq. So a lot of people, and Trump supported this, wanted to rebuild that area. And they really had a, even though he's the president of the United States, had a very difficult time getting USAID to go along with that priority. And it took pilot programs and all kinds of, it took years. They finally accomplished some, got some money, like I think it was a minor grants to that area of Iraq. There's also now persecution of Christians in Nigeria. There's a, some people argue it's a genocide in Nigeria against Christians. So is J.D. Vance, they were looking to him last week, he gave a speech the second day, is J.D. Vance going to signal that that is still a priority? We're not going to end all foreign assistance. We're going to prioritize it based on what Trump wants, not all this LGBTQ plus DEI, you know, business that the taxpayers would not support, you know, LGBTQ plus operas in Ireland and all of this nonsense.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, who doesn't love a good transgender opera in Ireland? But I mean, should we be paying for it?
Yeah, we should not be paying for it.
Because the bar is great at intermission. I'll tell you that, Susan Crabtree. I mean, obviously.
It's highly entertaining, but yes, I mean, absolutely ridiculous waste of money. I mean, USAID is in charge of PEPFAR, which is a presidential program that a lot of people have said is amazingly successful. It administers anti-HIV drugs all over Africa. You know, it does a lot of good work. So a lot mm-hmm. of people are wondering if there's the baby is going to be thrown out with the bathwater here. It's really going to be a combination of J.D. Vance, Rubio, Elon Musk, and Trump all determining the future of foreign assistance. What do we want to prioritize? But J.D. Vance came out the next day after that article and was hitting all the right notes when it came to religious freedom. And, you know, he is a Catholic man, and he said that it's a priority in his life, and he is committed to that issue. So a lot of people on that issue were relieved in terms of we're still going to be helping some religious minorities abroad, and certainly persecuted Christians is going to be a priority for this administration.
Good. I'm excellent to hear. Excellent to hear. Susan Crabtree's book, which is available for pre-order right now, Fool's Gold, The Radicals, Con Artists, and the Traitors Who Killed the California Dream and Now Threaten Us All. It's available for pre-order right now. Susan, I'm excited for this book. I live in New Jersey. I broadcast in Philadelphia, obviously, but my governor is an idiot. His official title is His Royal Ruggedness King Philip the Unaccountable, Phil Murphy, accountable to no one with a horrible, horrible toupee. You don't have to comment on that. You're a very classy person. I don't need you to. You can just pretend like I'm not saying any of this. But he did say at one point, Susan, he wanted to make New Jersey the California of the East Coast. And I think between him and Gavin Newsom, they both belong in a lunatic asylum. Newsom, as the state is literally on fire, is turning around and saying he's going to spend $50 million to Trump proof California. These people are insane. They have ruined what is one of the most beautiful states. It's actually my favorite state in terms of just sheer beauty. I love California, but I would never live there now.
Well, I live there, and I will tell you, it's becoming increasingly difficult to live here, both in terms of a cost of living basis and just a public schools. Our public schools are riddled with DEI and woke, you know, ideology. And it's just it comes at you in every direction. So when this wildfire happened in Los Angeles, I don't live there. I live in San Diego. We had our set of wildfires shortly thereafter, and thankfully they were put out very quickly. But you felt like sitting ducks because you know it's all exposed. I have a whole chapter in my book before it was written way before the wildfires happened here. There had been previous seasons and seasons of wildfires. In fact, Gavin Newsom now says we don't call it a wildfire season, it's a wildfire year. We do not have to accept that as Californians, as our fate. That is a combination of ridiculous climate priorities and complete gross mismanagement and political greed with the utilities. They don't maintain their equipment, and they cause most of the fires in California. If you want to know the truth, they just spread their money all over. They've given $750,000 at least that we could track to Gavin Newsom and his wife for her documentary films that are on gender justice. And I'm not kidding you. So this PG&E is one of the major utilities. They're in bed with Gavin Newsom and every other Democrat in the state, and they don't require them to maintain their equipment. And these fires keep happening. And they're, you know, you cannot talk about the vegetation growth. The utilities are supposed to be doing that as well. Mm-hmm. But, you know, they don't like prescribed burns because it puts soot in the air. Well, I think we have just eradicated the last any type of gains that the state has made over the last two decades. There's been studies done at UCLA and Stanford saying these wildfires eradicated all the carbon gains you take such pride in. So it's just absolute gross mismanagement at every level. And it's just showcasing it, sadly, for all to see, for the rest of the country and the world to see.
And when we talk about this idea of the radical lunacy of this state, it's important to note, I mean, there are a lot of Republican voters in California. I mean, millions of them, but it's just a matter of the Democrats just have such a stronghold. Is there any hope? I mean, is there ever a chance? Like New Jersey right now, there's a chance we could flip red. And we've had Republican governors before. It's been a long time since California has had one. Is there any chance we could flip that state? How? And if there was, how could we do it?
I think it's going to take, you know, a celebrity type like Arnold Schwarzenegger to, you know, to change people's mm-hmm. minds, some larger than life figure to change the politics. It has changed there. We passed a crackdown on crime last year, and it was widely supported across the state. Got rid of George Gascon, the DA, the liberal DA that wrote the bad crime laws to begin with. Got rid of him in LA. Got rid of Chesa Boudin in San Francisco, another terrible DA that was light on crime, soft on crime. And so I think the smash and grabs, the wildfires are changing people's minds, but I don't know what people here, I will tell you, when it comes to the election, Donald Trump made great gains in California. 9.3 million voted for Kamala, about 6.1 million voted for Donald Trump. And that was like better than a million more than he had last time. So there are changes happening in California. But I'm telling you, people love to look at the D behind the name, and they just go with that.
Yeah.
Around the edges, I'm seeing some changes. We'll see. The next election will be the big test. And I think they need to do another recall of Gavin Newsom, even though he's done as of next year. And Karen Bass. Karen Bass cannot be sitting there in her position as mayor and with the type of failed leadership that was showcased just a few weeks ago.
If nothing else, we should recall Gavin Newsom's hair, because I think that guy bald, I think he would go insane, you know, and he'd lose a lot of his power. He's such a jack. I'm sorry. I just find him so smug. The other problem I think California has is that a lot of sane people, yourself excluded, obviously, are leaving the state of California, like Matthew McConaughey last week, who talked about going to Texas and you know, I mean, he's a Texan, but, you know, having Texas be the new hub for the film industry. And Austin is booming like that. And a lot of people have left. Obviously, big names have left California. So a lot of people are saying it's time to get out. And that's the downside, because as they leave, they're making red states redder, but the hope of flipping a state like California goes down, unfortunately, right?
That's right. I'm tempted to leave, but I have I'm of two minds about it. I have a 83-year-old mother here that I would love to spend more time with. And why should I be the one to leave? You know what?
Right.
We should be staying and fighting. Somebody has to stay and fight. And we'll see if I'm, you know, it's the cost of living here is absurd. And the taxes, everything we're at the top of, gas prices, utility prices, insurance rates, everything, we are at the highest level. And it just seems like one disaster after another. that, you know, it can be prevented. I'm not saying that there wouldn't have been any wildfires, but there are certainly things that could have been done to mitigate those fires. And we know now, we're all, you know, running around wondering if our local government is doing its job, or are they talking about climate change and not cutting the vegetation, not making the utilities cut the vegetation, and do they have our reservoirs filled? This is just basic. These are basic things that we need to count on as Californians. And meanwhile, the head of the LA Department of Water and Power is a former PG&E employee who was being paid $750,000 for a government job. And she was devoted to clean energy, green energy programs. That's why they hired her in LA. But she couldn't keep the reservoirs full. It's mind-blowing.
$750,000. My God. Susan Crabtree, thank you. Follow her on X at Susan Crabtree and pre-order the book today. Thanks for your time, my friend. Keep up the great work.
Absolutely, Rich. Great to have you with you.
Thank you.
The Oli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right, Trump, President Trump and Elon Musk are in the Oval Office for an executive order signing. I believe we are going to get that audio very soon. We'll bring it to you live. Senator Dave McCormick is going to be on the show. We're loaded up today. We got a lot going on. I'm very, very excited about it. And the big news, two things. Number one, President Trump has just officially pardoned former Illinois Governor Rod Blagojevich. He had commuted his sentence last time, but he has now officially pardoned him. I told you yesterday on the show, a good friend of mine was at Mar-a-Lago, and President Trump said, any ideas? And he said, you should give a pardon to Blago. A week later, he did. But I have the text. I can prove it, but I'm not showing you. I can't reveal his identity. That would be wrong, but he did. And the second thing, of course, Mark Fogel, Pennsylvania resident, detained in Russia for years, coming home. President Trump fulfilling the promise he made to his mother in Butler, Pennsylvania, and Mark Fogel is coming home. All great things, and the Eagles parade is on Friday. Big 4 o'clock hour coming up straight ahead. Don't go away.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.